a.m. to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. Happy Oaks Day to you. Getting ready for a big weekend of Derby action. Glad to have you with us as we kick off this Friday program. Indiana Pacers victorious last night, 120-98, the final score over the Bucks of Milwaukee. The Pacers clinched the series in front of a great crowd, a raucous crowd at home at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. The Knicks also victorious last night as they win that series over the 76ers, and it's the Pacers and the Knicks coming up on Monday in Game 1 of the Eastern Conference semifinals. So the Pacers back in the playoffs, and they capitalize on it, winning the opening series, moving on to the conference semifinals on Monday night, and we'll see how they fare now against the Knicks when this one gets underway here early next week. Let's look at the show lineup for today. A service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one here in just a moment. We'll have our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. A little bit later in the hour, we'll be joined here on this Friday show by Dylan Wallace. Dylan is the former sports editor of the Seymour Tribune, and he is with us Fridays as we talk the latest on IU and college sports and so much more today when he's with us. Also, we always close things out on Friday with Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star. We'll get into some recruiting and some hoops with Kyle when he's with us later today. I know there's a lot of kind of renewed interest in recruiting as we enter the spring. The shoe circuits are rolling again, and we'll kind of get an update from Kyle on some of the top in-state players. Where does Indiana stand with them? Jalen Harrelson, Trent Sisley, obviously two of the big dogs that come to mind. And so we'll get the latest breakdown in their recruitment from Kyle when he's with us a little bit later in the show. That's the lineup today. A service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to check them out today for lunch. They have great sandwiches, salads, and soups that are made fresh daily and will surely satisfy any craving you have. You might even find something else to take home as they have a variety of dinner packages. Give Honey Baked Ham in New Albany a try. I think you'll be glad that you did. Thornton's text line is open, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Love to hear from you today. Who are your Derby picks, I should say, for tomorrow? Who are you going to go with? Who are you going to bet some money on? 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. All fountain drinks and fizz freeze drinks at Thornton's are just 89 cents at area Thornton's locations. You can enjoy your favorite fountain drink of any size or a cold, delicious fizz freeze for just 89 cents. And again, the Thornton's text line is 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Let's get into some Hoosier headlines today. A summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. I guess we can talk a little bit more about Alex Hemingway, a Castle product who has been at Clemson now, a transfer shooting guard who is in the portal, setting up visits. We had heard Indiana was in the mix, one of a handful of schools in the mix for Hemingway, but had really not heard much this week about where he might visit and how quickly something might come together for him. But it looks like this weekend he is going to be at Vanderbilt. May 9th and 10th, he is planning to visit Maryland, and then Indiana will be his final visit on May 14th and 15th. I think Indiana has a great opportunity to land him, But you never know. 6'3" shooting guard, a career 43% three-point shooter. Over 95 games he played at Clemson in the ACC Conference. In the 22-23 season, he shot 47% from three-point range, which is outstanding. But I think, again, a Hoosier native, a Southern Indiana pocket city of Evansville area player, would make a lot of sense to add him to the roster as a complimentary player and shooter along with Luke Goody. I tell you what, Hemingway, if he were to come in, that is about as good and a balanced of a portal class, I think, is what you could draw up if we could go back to the end of the season with what Indiana needs to get some big dogs, but also some shooters. That is about as good of a way you could work it, put it on paper for Mike Woodson, a blueprint, and they have absolutely answered the bell as far as the transfer portal, and I think Alex Hemingway would be a little cherry on top if they can reel him in here. It looks like the middle of May is when we might know more on him. Speaking of the transfer portal, according to 247 Sports and their final 2024 transfer rankings out of the portal, Indiana hangs on to the number one spot overall as far as teams that have struck success here in the portal. But Indiana, really, really strong portal class, as we've discussed, led by Omar Ballo. I think he is the highest rated recruit, number two in the 247 portal rankings. So that obviously helped Indiana's score jump to the top of the list, but some big lands for Indiana and their roster next season. There is no question about that. High school baseball last night. Thursday always seems to be a big night heading into the weekend for local high school baseball games, and a big one last night, Providence and New Albany, a big rivalry game. Providence having a really good season. New Albany has been up and down, but maybe finding their way. The Bulldogs winners last night, 6-1 over Providence. That game last night was played at Memorial Field, and Providence a victor, or I should say New Albany a victor behind Chase Lush, the starting pitcher. Lush is now 3-3 on the season. Gavin Jackson was the pitcher for Providence last night. Big triple, though, from Luke Kruer. He's been a big hitter all season for the Pioneers. New Albany pushes their record to 11-7. Providence 10-6 on the year. We'll see if this New Albany team can hang in there and compete for a sectional championship. That's a really good sectional led by Floyd Central in 4A. And Providence, they are a big favorite in their sectional. They are the one really good team in that sectional that should have a chance to move on to a regional. Also, Borden at high school baseball, they clinched at least a share of the SAC conference, that's the Southern Athletic Conference, last night with a 10-3 victory over Henryville. That game was played at Borden last night. The winning pitcher for the Braves was Michael McVoy. He's now 5-2 on the season. And Alex Schuler had a triple last night for Borden in that game, and Schuler came back and also had a home run in that contest for the Braves. Floyd Central, a victor last night, 7-1 winners over Seymour, big Hoosier Hills Conference game there. And Silver Creek, also a winner, 4-0 in a Mid-Southern Conference game. They took on North Harrison yesterday and were victorious in that game. Just to look at some of the high school baseball action from last night. Back to the transfer portal, though. One final headline here. According to CBS Sports, Indiana, one of the winners of the transfer portal. I don't think there's any question about that. I think we all know that at this point. But I did want to read this little capsule about the Hoosiers and their portal success to you. Here's what was on the CBS Sports college basketball page yesterday. Quote, Indiana's haul includes three players from CBS Sports transfer rankings and a fourth in Luke Goody, who played a key role for an Elite Eight team at Illinois. The headliner is big man Omar Ballo from Arizona, but guards Miles Rice and Cannon Carlisle are the breath of fresh air that the IU backcourt has been needing. Rice earned Pac-12 Rookie of the Year honors at Washington State in 2023-24, while Carlisle averaged 11.5 points as a freshman at Stanford. If they can shoot it decently well from three-point range, the Hoosiers could be, should be, I should say, in the Big Ten's upper crust. Now, that's what the capsule said, and the reason I wanted to read that to you, most of that is obvious, but the reason I wanted to read that to you is that last sentence. If Indiana can shoot it decently well from the three-point range, the Hoosiers should be in the Big Ten's upper crust. I would take that a step further and say if they can shoot it decently well in general, three-point range and beyond, they should be one of the top teams in the Big Ten Conference next year. It could be the Boilermakers and the Hoosiers, and we'll know more about rosters and have a better feel for the conference as we get a few weeks further into transfer portal commitments now that the portal is closed, the new entries, and obviously the other big kind of finality date out there for college basketball next year will be the NBA draft. Once that happens and we know for sure who's in and who's out, I think we'll have a better read on that. That'll help provide some clarity with other conference rosters as well, who's going to maybe come back, who's not going to come back. And that date will happen later this month as far as the deadline for guys to either lock into the draft or return to college basketball. But that will be kind of another key moment to help shape what Indiana's chances and what the Big Ten Conference could look like next season. Thornton's text line is open, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. We'll head to a break. Derby tomorrow, 6:57 is the post time at Churchill Downs in downtown Louisville. Looks like a high of around 79 degrees, but a 40% chance of rain. We'll see if we have a sloppy track for Derby 150. We'll give you some picks, or we'll have a little Derby talk at some point later in this show. I don't know anything about horses, but I can tell you probably who not to pick based on my gambling history. Stay with us. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Friday show. Thornton's text line is open, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Dylan Wallace with us Fridays. We talk IU basketball, football, college sports, a little bit of everything. And let's start with the Pacers today, Dylan. How about Indiana winning their first playoff series that they've been in some time, I think since the COVID season when the playoffs were played in a bubble. And they win it at home in front of a great group of fans last night at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. And they level up now to take on the New York Knicks, which will be a big challenge. You know, Pacers got lucky with Milwaukee. They had a lot of injuries and some health issues, but the Knicks are ready, raring to go after a series win over the 76ers, and we'll see what this Pacers team is made of. But it's been a nice little boost here at the end of April and the start of May to have playoff basketball with our in-state NBA franchise alive and playing well.
Yeah, it's been great for professional basketball in Indiana so far this year. You know, they draft Caitlin Clark. They have a fun Pacers season for all 82 games. You know, the young stars like Halliburton and some of those guys. And, you know, to get into the playoffs against a Milwaukee team that, you know, they had a lot of history with in the regular season. There was a lot of kind of animosity between the two teams. The Pacers beat them in the in-season tournament. They had kind of their way with Milwaukee. And to come into this series, you know, without Giannis playing and Dame only played a few games, you know, you thought Indiana had a really good chance to potentially advance. And that's what they did. And to close it out, to bounce back from a really tough game five when both those guys didn't play and they got blown out, to bounce back from that at home in front of a great crowd, like you said, a gold out, and just take care of business is really exciting for Indiana. So they're on to round two, you know, against the Knicks. I know there's some fun history with those two teams in the playoffs. You know, the Knicks are kind of banged up, too. They got, you know, they got Julius Randle's hurt. Bogdanovich is hurt. But, you know, they'll have a familiar face for Indiana fans with OG Anunoby there. And he had a great series against Philadelphia. So it should be a really, really fun series. The Knicks are kind of a slow you down, grind it out type of style. And the Pacers are obviously running guns. So it's going to be very, very interesting. I think the Pacers can hang around in the series with the way they play against the Knicks. So I expect another competitive series, maybe at least six games again, and it should be a lot of fun. I think Indianapolis, I've been to a few Pacers playoff games back in the Paul George days when they would play like the LeBron Heat teams. So it can get a really great atmosphere there. So it was great to see that back. I miss it so much for the Chicago Bulls. I haven't experienced that in like 9 years, so I'm very jealous of the Indiana Pacers right now. But it's fun to follow along. I got a lot of friends who are Pacers fans and should expect another fun series against the Knicks. I'm sure they're going to be pulling up a lot of old videos of Reggie Miller and all that stuff, but it should be a great time.
Yeah, it brings back some memories from childhood, to be quite honest, with the Knicks and Reggie Miller and the Pacers. I'm glad you brought that up. Dylan Wallace, my guest. Dylan, what do you think about Indiana after getting some of the big dogs in the transfer portal world? What do you think about them targeting shooters? I think fans are rejoicing that this staff has been able to reel in Luke Goody, who is a noted shooter, and now has made contact, it seems, with Alex Hemingway from Castle down in Evansville, that area, about setting up a visit for later this month. I've got to believe the Hoosiers would have a good chance to land him. He could play the role of shooter. He's been a great one for Clemson. That's exactly what Indiana needs. This, to me, Dylan, would be a perfect portal class if Indiana can add another shooter or two to go with the big dogs that they have, plus Goody.
Yeah, it's been really, really good offseason so far. We talked last Friday just a few hours before Goody actually officially committed, so we were pretty optimistic about it. Now he's officially on the roster, so you kind of got your first, like, true knockdown-type shooter. And I think what's great about Goody is he's used to playing a role on a good team. This Illinois team that just, you know, had the season come to an end in the Elite Eight was really good, but Goody was a role player, and he'd come in and do his job. And that's kind of what that's what he's going to be expected to do at Indiana. So to have a guy coming in knowing it's going to be more of a reserve type of role, come in when you're needed, I think it's really important, because he obviously has great family ties to Indiana. He wants to be here, and he's going to accept his role and play. And I think it's nice to go after even more shooters who have experience in the college game. A lot of the shooters that it feels like Indiana's had on the roster have been good shooters in high school. Everyone expects them to be good shooters in college, and for whatever reason, just hasn't translated, whether it's playing time, confidence, whatever. It just hasn't really come to fruition. But to bring in guys like a Goody, a Hemingway from Clemson, who have college experience at the Power 5 level, actually being a good shooter, you know, it should be able to translate well. And I think, you know, it's been really nice to see Indiana, you know, get their much-needed, like, star players, the big dogs, like you said, get the backcourt solidified with Rice and Carlisle, get the top transfer in the nation with Balo as your center, and then start to fill in around the edges. You know, bring in the shooters, maybe bring in a backup big, and just try to fill out that roster. You got two spots left. Ideally, it's probably one more shooter and one more backup big for Balo and Renew, but we'll see what they do. But I think it's been an awesome offseason. I try not to get too excited. I've seen some tweets and stuff lately of people saying Indiana's going to be a top 10 team and all that, which is exciting to think about. But, we just have to see it first. I feel like we've been burned too many times getting really hype in the offseason. And this is about as excited as you can be about the talent on the roster. But, you know, you just want to see it first. And I think we've been burned too much. But I'm super pumped. I think it's been awesome, and I can't wait to see these guys hit the floor.
I would love to be a fly on the wall in Assembly Hall or Cook Hall this summer as all the guys arrive on campus. How do these guys mesh together, and how do they form relationships off of the court? I know in the college world, it's basically year-round now. These guys will have a lot of opportunity to get to know each other on and off of the playing court this summer. But, to be a fly on the wall and watch some of these summer workouts and summer open gyms at night in Bloomington.
Yeah, oh my gosh. It must be a lot of fun just to get some new energy in town. I think it's going to be awesome. And obviously this coaching staff had a plan. Mike Woodson even said a few times, like after games or in some press conferences, like, we just need to upgrade, you know, our positions. We need to upgrade the talent here. He made it clear, and it's something that we all knew. But to see them go out and execute this plan pretty quickly too, like all the guys that Indiana was sort of tied to that there seemed to be a lot of, you know, back working with, it just seemed like they were able to really get these guys on campus, get them committed, and just solidify it all together. So I'm sure this summer, having these guys around, having these open courts playing will be a lot of fun. It'll be just kind of a new energy on campus with the fan base, with the team in general, you know, just to have new guys in that can really push you and challenge you. So I'm really excited to see what this team's able to do, and just kind of all the different lineup combinations that, you know, I think we'll talk about as the season gets closer, but there just seems to be a lot of versatility on this roster now. You could go small with shooters like Mbako and Goody. You can go play pretty big with those guys and follow and renew. It's just there's a lot of different options, which I think is really good to have. And I'm really excited to see what this coaching staff is able to do and what Mike Woodson is able to do. You got the talent in the building. Now you got to try to get them to play cohesively and really good on the court together. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm sure the practices and stuff will be really competitive and a good time in Bloomington this summer.
Dylan Wallace, my guest. We're talking some IU basketball topics here today on the show. Spring recruiting is heating up. There are some big names in the state. We're going to get Kyle Neddenrip's insight in the next segment on where IU is at in some of those recruitments. But who would be the biggest get for the staff from Indiana? Is it Jalen Harrelson, who has left an IHSA school in Fishers and moved on to La Lemire last season to play kind of a national travel schedule? Is it Trent Sicily here in Southern Indiana, who, boy, what a battle it's been between Indiana, Purdue, other Big Ten schools, Notre Dame as well for him. Who is the big guy in the upcoming senior class that Indiana landing them would make a big splash in the recruiting world?
It's definitely one of those two. Whichever one you want, take your pick. I would be really excited about Jalen Harrelson. I think the type of kind of athleticism and that he brings to the court would be really exciting. But, you know, I think Sicily's got some pretty good momentum to him right now in terms of, you know, the coaching staff just had an in-home visit with him not too long ago. And it seemed like, you know, it seemed like a few months ago Indiana was really losing traction with some of these in-state guys, but I think that's kind of changed as of late, and they're really in the conversation with Sicily and Harrelson. Obviously, you'd love to grab both. Probably won't happen, but I think Harrelson is the more kind of intriguing prospect, but Sicily just seems like he's coming ready to go. You know, he's got good size, got good height to him, can knock down shots. So, you know, I think everyone would be super pumped no matter which one they get, but hopefully you could land one of them, right? You know, you don't want both of those in-state guys going somewhere else, especially if they are to other in-state schools like Purdue, like Notre Dame. You know, if they, you know, split between those two and it ends up with zero of them, then I think fans will be pretty disappointed. So you're hoping you can get at least one of them. I think the fans would be excited for either one if they either commit. But yeah, definitely some really big names in the state that are coming up that, you know, it's going to be fun to watch and see if Indiana can keep them in-state in Bloomington. And I think a lot of it's probably going to depend on, you know, can they kind of get things turned around with their own program? You know, that obviously helps attract recruits is success on the court and success on a big stage and not a bunch of losing streaks. So it's all going to be tied together eventually. But if any can you recruit like this and play better on the court, I'll like their chances to bring some of these guys in.
Yeah, no question. Dylan, by landing some of these big fish from the portal in the offseason and by kind of creating a lot of hope for what next season could look like for this IU team, has Mike Woodson put even more pressure on himself in year four to have success, to get to the NCAA tournament, and to win, maybe to even retain his job because of bringing in a great class? Does this add pressure to him?
I think that's a great point. You know, obviously, I think expectations were going to be a little heightened no matter what, just because of how kind of tough last year was. You know, I think fans were expecting, you know, for sure be in the NCAA tournament pretty comfortably. You know, you're hopefully competing, you know, for in the top four of the Big Ten. But you make a good point that because you're bringing in such a, you know, right now the best transfer portal class in the country, does that change expectations? You know, like if you get into the tournament as an 8 seed and you're fifth place in the Big Ten and you maybe win one game, like, is that disappointing? I think it would be, honestly. I think because you're bringing in such good talent, you know, the expectations are just going to rise higher. You know, I think Indiana is going to, you know, I don't think the odds are out yet, but I wouldn't be shocked if they're one of the favorites to win the conference, honestly, the way that some of the national people are talking about them and the talent they brought in. So there's definitely going to be some heightened expectations for this team, especially there was in general, but now there will be for sure with the talent they've brought in. So, you know, I think Mike Woodson, you know, I think the seat would have got pretty warm quick if they started out next year badly. But now with an even better roster, there kind of really is no excuse, right? Unless everybody gets hurt, you know, but it's unlike last year where, you know, just one player like Xavier Johnson went hurt. He kind of use that as an excuse for a little bit. But, you know, if Xavier Johnson was healthy the whole year, would have made a huge difference? Probably not. with this roster now and the options you have up and down it with the talent there is, you know, I think there's going to be tough to find excuses if everyone's kind of relatively healthy. You know, this team should be a lot better on the court, should be really competitive on a national stage. And I think it's a good point that because of how much good players they've brought in, the expectations are just going to go up. And hopefully Indiana can live up to them, you know, because the fan base is hungry for some wins and for the program to be relevant again. So it's going to be really interesting to watch how that kind of plays out over the course of the season.
Yeah, no question. Talking with Dylan Wallace here on this Friday edition of the show. Dylan, you know, you've been in Southern Indiana. You were at Seymour. Now you're all the way back up in South Bend, just coming out of a really cold winter, I'm sure. Do you pay any attention to the Kentucky Derby, or is that more of a Southern Indiana thing because we're so close to Louisville where the Twin Spires are located?
I will say, when I was growing up in Crown Point and everything, never paid attention to it at all. When I went to college in Bloomington, you know, your friends always like, let's go to the Derby when it's around graduation time. And then living in Southern Indiana, it was a big deal. Now that I'm back up here, I still pay attention to it just because I was connected to it for so long, and some of my friends are from Louisville. I've been to a wedding at Churchill Downs, so like I've experienced all of it kind of. So I'm still kind of invested. I'll definitely be trying to catch it this Saturday and watch. And the Notre Dame seniors do a thing where a lot of them go travel to the Derby. So I've had some conversations about it with some people, and it's like a big thing they do here as seniors. So it's still somewhat relevant in my life, but I'll be paying attention, keeping an eye on it for sure. I haven't done too much homework yet, but I'm hoping to get that done maybe by tonight so I can see what I can do on Saturday.
Dylan Wallace, my guest. Dylan, it's always great to catch up on Fridays. We'll do it again next week. Thanks for your insight today.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you.
All right, we'll head to a commercial break in just a moment. Come back with our final segment of the show and of the week. Thornton's text line is open, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. If you want to sound off, ask a question, give a Derby prediction, whatever it may be, send us a text on the Thornton's text line. We'll be back after this break here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Friday edition of the show. A couple people said, Matt, you got to give your Derby pick. Well, I told you, not a big gambler and not good with the horses especially. But if you want to pick for me, I'm going to go with the four horse, Catching Freedom, who in the morning odds, morning line was 8-1. So there you go. If you want to know who not to pick, who not to bet, Catching Freedom is Matt Dennison's choice, so you can log that for whatever it's worth. Glad to have you back with us here on this Friday show. Thornton's text line, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star, he checks in on Fridays. We talk recruiting and hoops and more. And Kyle, are you paying any attention at all to the Derby, or are you focused only on the Pacers right now and their postseason successes?
No, I'm not paying much attention to the Derby, although I do. Growing up, I always liked watching the race, and if I'm around somewhere around a TV, I still enjoy watching. I don't know anything about the horses up until the time they get into the stalls and they're ready to, what do you call that, the opening the gates there and get ready to go. But I enjoy the pageantry of it, and I'd like to get to one someday. I've heard it's a pretty awesome experience in person, and would hope to do that. Many times I've been in Fort Wayne while that race has been going on, watching the Run and Slam event, which I'll be at this weekend actually. So a lot of memories actually at the Spieth Fieldhouse, you know, at the TV there watching, you know, catching a little bit of the race or running over there real quick to watch it before the you get on to the next game or between games or whatever. But that's my biggest memory of the Kentucky Derby is probably being in Fort Wayne watching the Run and Slam.
Kyle Nedrip, Indianapolis Star, with us. I can remember watching the Derby from the big screen in the Spiess Fieldhouse concession cafeteria area many years. Watching the Derby run there with Eddie Ford. That takes you back in the day, Kyle. In grassroots basketball. But let's get into some recruiting. I know the transfer portal has been the hot topic, and Indiana's had a lot of success with that. But recruiting is heating back up, and the Hoosiers are going after a number of players. Some of these guys now, they have been recruiting somehow since their freshman year of high school basketball. And the two that stand out the most, probably Jalen Harrelson and also Trent Sicily. Any update, whether it be Indiana with those guys or just in general on their recruitment, who you think the favorites are, and when maybe they could make decisions on what their future after the next season of high school basketball looks like?
Yeah, I mean, I think both of them are, you know, in the process where they probably have a pretty good idea of, you know, kind of what their situations are, who's really interested in them, who's, you know, and it always does change a little bit as far as, like, you know, there could be different interests based on coaching changes or, you know, transfer portal, you know, stuff like that obviously is going to change your situation. And I know we talk a lot about how recruiting, you know, there could be lists put out or top fives or stuff like that. And I would say in football, you know, I've been covering some football recruiting here in the last week or so. And, you know, a lot of those situations are even more fluid than basketball even. And that's been my opinion over the years of covering it, is football is just, it's so, I don't know what the group think sort of thing. You have one school that'll offer, and you'll see a lot of the schools in the same conference offer, and you'll have, you know, like you see a MAC school offer, and then you get a bunch of those. You get a Big Ten, then you get several more in football especially. Basketball's a little bit different, but, you know, I think with Sicily, you know, and I think Harrelson's, I think IU very much, they're very much mutual interest there. I think Sicily as well, although I hear a lot with Purdue on Trent Sicily, and, you know, I think that's a real possibility. I don't want to say, you know, favorite or whatever, but, you know, because we know how, like I said, things do change, and I'm not even saying they're a favorite right now, but I do think there's a lot of reason to believe that, you know, there's a lot of mutual interest there, and that would be potentially a place where he could be. And at this point, you know, with Sicily, it's been a lot of the same schools since the beginning. You know, it's been very much a Big Ten recruitment or Midwest recruitment, you could say, probably. You know, Iowa's been in there very early on. Michigan State's been there very early on. But we've seen, you know, we've seen IU and Purdue basically since the beginning of that. And, you know, that would be, you know, if he did go to Purdue, I know that would really, you know, maybe rub IU people the wrong way as far as, like, hey, here's a kid in our backyard, a kid who, you know, it's been IU area for years. And I'm not saying they're not going to. I think they're very much part of the this discussion at this point. But you know, and you got to throw Notre Dame in there too with what, you know, that relationship with Micah Shrewsbury and their staff there that has made them a possibility too. So, you know, it's been a lot of those schools: Purdue, Indiana, Notre Dame, Michigan State, Iowa. Those have kind of been the, you know, the schools that have been on him for quite some time. And, you know, I guess I would probably be surprised in a sense if it's not one of those, unless there is some mitigating circumstance or you go again, you know, you just never know, coaching change or, you know, whatever could happen between now and the time he goes in there. But, you know, in Louisville, in the last month or so, they've come in as well. So, I mean, I think that's maybe a little bit late in the game, but who knows? They're not that far away either, new coaching staff. So, but, yeah, I mean, I do think there's a lot of Purdue, interest there, and I think that could be, you know, some place that's very realistic that he could go. And to me, it's interesting because that hasn't been traditionally a Purdue area. You know, they've gone a lot to the northern part of the state, Fort Wayne, you know, obviously Indianapolis, but you know, not as much Southern Indiana, but they did get Trey Kaufman out of Southern Indiana. So it's not impossible, and I think very realistic potentially that it could happen here.
Talking with Kyle Nedrip of the Indianapolis Star, from an IU perspective, Kyle, you know, Mike Woodson has shown he can have really good continuous success here from the transfer portal, but I think recruiting, there have been some stones at times left unturned. Do you have any sense as we go into year four of his time in Bloomington of how important recruiting and showing he can land in-state guys and pull in big dogs through the recruiting process is for his future at Indiana?
Well, it sort of seems like it's kind of year by year based on the team that you have coming, and they've got a really good team, talented team anyway, coming in. So, you know, that I think will matter first of all, and then it'll be the secondary story of, well, you know, if they struggle, well, you didn't put enough time into getting, you know, if you don't get Sisley, if you don't get Harrelson, if you don't get Mullins, you know, then it'll become, you know, kind of a problematic. But if you're a top 10 team and you make a, you know, say they make a Sweet 16 next year, or, you know, they make significant progress with the transfer portal guys they have coming in, then I don't think people will care as much about missing out on in-state guys. And, you know, it's just different now. You know, it's recruiting is just different as far as your energy you're going to put into high school recruiting based on, you know, just the way it's set up now. You're going to put more energy into the transfer portal because that's where the established players are that you can get. And you know, honestly, the NIL is going to, and IU is obviously doing well in that area as far as, you know, having the ability to get those guys. So, you know, that's, you know, I don't think it's and there are schools that are going to go about it differently, either because they have to or because they have a system in place like Purdue that's sort of been successful for them, and they've gone more to the high school realm. So, you know, it's however you want to do it. I would say, you know, I think it's sort of, you know, an IU situation. It's kind of like, you know, let's see where we're at a year from now. And, you know, if this worked, you know, then great. If not, then it could be an issue. But I think it just, you know, your energy is just, it's going to be split a little bit now between, you know, the portal and high school recruiting. You want to still maintain and establish those relationships, and, you know, they could, and those kids eventually will be in college, and they'll could possibly be in the portal too. So you want to maintain those relationships, even if you don't get them originally. Look at Luke Goody, you know, who at one time was not really, you know, an IU recruit at all, and now he's there. And you know, so you want to maintain some sort of relationship, and even if you don't get him in things on good terms, because who knows, you know, they could end up, you could end up recruiting them out of the portal. So, It's just a different landscape. It's hard to judge, in my opinion. I know a lot of people compare past history and all that, and it's so different. It's almost not even, you almost can't even compare it. You know, it's not the same thing.
Kyle Nedrip, Indianapolis Star. Any other in-state guys, even in younger classes, that as we kind of get back into the shoe circuit stuff and start to talk recruiting more in this point of the offseason that fans should take note of, that Indiana may be interested in, or just a good player in our state to note at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, Steven Reynolds out of South Bend is definitely in South Bend, Washington, is a name in the 2026 class who's a surefire Division I high major player. You know, that 26 class is, you know, we've talked a lot about 25 on your show, but 26 I think is pretty good too. And I think he's probably the top known guy at this point. But EJ Hazlett, who's at Franklin Central, is another player I like a lot. He's a wing. He's about 6'6" or 7". Plays on the Indiana or the Indy Heat team. You know, is very good. Obviously, Justin Curry is another one from Noblesville, who I like, and I think he could potentially be a high major player. You know, Brennan Miller is also in that class that is from Lawrence North, and his teammate Kai McGrew, who's probably more a little bit of a post player than Miller, but Noah Smith is another one, and he's from Plainfield. I've seen him play quite a bit. He's about 6 foot six, 6 foot seven or eight, I would say, and face up, good face up player, and does a lot of really good things. So there's a lot. That 26 class, I think, is, you could go down the list farther and find a lot of good players, or at least interesting players at this point. You know, those guys are still 2 years of high school basketball remaining, so that has to play out. The list you say now is probably not exactly what it's going to end up being, but maybe not quite as deep as 25, but I'm still, you know, try to keep an open mind, and we'll see. I mean, 25's got, you know, just seems like a lot of players just up and down. There's, you know, this Cedric Horton kid at Richmond I like a lot. You know, the Chase Konecny kid I really like from South Bend St. Joe, saw him in the state finals, and I think he's a really good player. Obviously, you got Jeffersonville's got a lot of good players. Trey Singleton in that class, who's more of a post player, but they've got a few guys, and that's going to make them, I think, one of the top. That Michael Cooper kid, I think, is way underrated from Jeffersonville. So, but that 25 class, really good. 26, I think, is good. And then, you know, 27, I haven't seen enough of those players yet to know exactly, but obviously Jalen Mitchell out of Evansville Wrights, as a high major prospect. excuse me, Jason Gardner Jr. from Fishers is a guard who will get a lot of attention. And, you know, and there's several other guys in that class. That one will have to play out farther. I'm always hesitant on those guys just because you don't know. Sometimes those freshmen are older and they have good freshman year and they kind of level off. Some we don't even know. Maybe they didn't even play varsity basketball at this point. And, you know, they'll break out and have good sophomore junior season. So, you know, a lot still to be determined on that front. Everyone's situation is different. You might play at a smaller school where you put up a bunch of points, but, you know, then you see them on the AU circuit and they're sort of not, you know, kind of average. So you just never know for sure.
Kyle Nedenrip, Indianapolis Star. Kyle, you had some great coverage from the Pacers series against the Bucks, which was captured last night, I should say clinched last night by the Pacers over the Bucks, Game 6 in front of a great crowd at Gainbridge. Now it's the Knicks. That series gets underway on Monday. You want to give us a little preview of how that could go and maybe a little bit more difficult it will be for this Indiana team?
Yeah, it'll definitely be difficult. I will say, you know, Pat, Jalen Brunson's done for the Knicks, and he's got a little bit of history with Rick Carlisle, the Pacers coach, who coached him with Dallas, and, you know, that. So there's a little bit of back story or back history anyway. That's kind of interesting. So the Knicks are just super tough, you know, and it starts with Brunson. You know, they're not maybe the most talented team ever, and they don't even have Randle right now. So, you know, you watch them play, and, you know, they look a little bit limited offensively. Ananobi's been a nice addition for them, so that'll be another local interest type of story. So, but yeah, I always loved watching those Villanova teams play when Jay Wright was coaching them. And, you know, they've got three of those guys who had a lot of success in college with Hart and DiVincenzo also in that rotation. So just a super – that's going to be, you know, the Madison Square Garden, you know, it's going to be awesome environment, I think, those first couple games. And then the history of the Pacers-Knicks, you know, it's sort of all from the 90s, you know, kind of will come back, I'm sure, as far as the passion and energy goes. And there's probably not a lot of – teams in the NBA that have that sort of history with the Knicks in the playoffs like the Pacers do. Even I was just thinking about it, watching the 76ers Knicks, I was like, there's really no, as weird as it seems, like there's no real history playoff wise because the Knicks just had, it's so sporadic when they're actually good. You know, and they had that good stretch in the 90s where, you know, the 76ers really weren't good at that point. So it's interesting how the Pacers and Knicks seem to have that history that they had for quite a while, and I'm sure that a lot of stories and things will be said about that, and I'm looking forward to that. It'd be great. I mean, there's nothing to me, it's like playoff basketball in May. It's just it's so unique and fun, and I can't wait to, you know, see what that's going to be like when the series comes back here in game 3 and 4 and maybe beyond that.
Absolutely. All right, Kyle Nedenrip, Indianapolis Star. Kyle, as always, lots of ground covered, great insight. Thank you for your time, and we'll chat next Friday.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Matt.
All right, that's going to wrap things up for this Friday show. Have a great weekend. I know it's supposed to be a little wet today, and really for the next number of days, I think rain is in the forecast. But hopefully, if you're headed to the track or at the track for Oaks Day or going tomorrow for Derby Day, hopefully it's enjoyable and you've got a dry seat or a covering. And we'll be back Monday. Lots more action in the portal for Indiana. Recruiting heats up. We'll be tracking IU football here in the offseason as well. We'll recap everything coming out of the weekend on Monday. But have a great weekend. We'll be back Monday. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.